So I want to give you something. Ushers are going to come by and give you something real quick. So where they are, they're coming. All right. And I want you just to hold this pack of Skittles for just a minute. All right. Have you seen those videos where they put the candy in front of the kid and they say, "Don't eat it"? And we're gonna leave, and they leave, and the kids kind of look at each other like, "We're trying it, we're doing it." And don't open those Skittles yet. I know some of you. All right. I want you all to grab a pack of Skittles before we get started. Skittles is a miracle from God, if you ask me. I don't know exactly where it came from, but my goodness, this is some good stuff. There is a lot of noise out there for people who are not eating those Skittles. I hear paper ripping. I'm like, "What? You just getting ready, huh?" All right. Okay. Give my son Luke here a hand. He's going to give me something. Yeah. He loves that, I'm sure. All right. Now that you have your Skittles, I want to start this message. There's a story. I want you to imagine this. A dad who's been working lots and lots of hours, and he hasn't been able to spend very much time with his little six-year-old son. And he finally has the day off, and he's just decided, "I'm going to take him to the movies, and I'm going to get him whatever he wants to eat, and whatever he needs, I'm going to do it. I'm just make sure today is a fun, memorable day." So he lets him pick out the movie, and of course it's a cartoon movie. They get to the movies, and he looks at him when they get to the concession counter, and he says, "What do you want?" He says, "I want a giant Coke." So the dad looks at the guy behind the counter and says, give me a large Coke." And so he's back there pouring the large Coke. He says, "What else do you want?" He said, "I want a hot dog with lots of mustard." And he said, "Give me a hot dog, lots of mustard." So he gets the hot dog. He said, "Son, what else do you want?" And he said, I want a giant popcorn." He looks at him and says, "Give me a large popcorn." And of course, you know how this is going. His dad's going to be carrying all this. And he finally says, "What else do you want?" He said, "I want a big, giant bag of Skittles." And his dad looked on the shelf, found the biggest bag of Skittles they sold. Of course, he put it up there, and he mortgaged the house, and he paid for it all. You get that sticker shock. $84 for snacks at the movies, right? He gathers it all up, and they go in, they sit down, and they start the movie. The previews come on, and finally the movie comes on, and the little boy is sitting there eating the hot dog, and he finishes the hot dog. And he's got mustard all over his shirt, so his dad, you know, cleans the mustard off as much as dads will clean off mustard, you know. And then he says, "Dad, I want the Coke." So he takes the Coke, and it's like drinking out of a bucket for the six-year-old, and he puts it between his legs, and he just starts drinking Coke. And it's so good, and he's loving it so much, and he hands it back to his dad. And then he said, "Give me the popcorn." So his dad puts the bucket of popcorn between his legs, and with two hands, he eats popcorn for the next 30 minutes, as much as he can pack in there. He finally gives the popcorn back to his dad, and he said, "Give me the Coke." Same thing, slurping the Coke through the next few minutes of the movie, and finally, his eyes light up, and he says, "Give me the Skittles." His dad opens the Skittles up, and he sets it between his leg, and the dad hadn't gotten anything to eat. And he leans over to his little son and he says, "Can I have a few Skittles?" And the little boy said, "These are mine. Go get your own." Now that's as funny as this story's going to get, all right? If you're a parent, you get this one. You're like, "I worked a whole hour last week to pay for those Skittles. All I want is a few." "Go get your own bag, Dad." Now, here's the question. You're holding the Skittles in your hand. How many of us are doing this with God? When God has blessed us and the Bible teaches us, He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to give us the thing, the desires of our heart is what the Bible says. But then when He says, all right, I need you to give me back a few, we go, wait, whoa. I worked for this. Now, if I can be real honest with you about the message we're going to share this morning, most pastors that I know, including myself, are a little bit tentative, maybe even nervous when it comes to talking about the subject of finances and money in church. We're hesitant to talk about it too loudly or too often because we don't want to be misunderstood. We're afraid that we might offend the faithful or we might scare off a newcomer. And so money and giving and finances don't get talked about a whole lot. We know that there's a lot of people in the world who will say things and they don't know what they're talking about, but they'll say things like the church is just out to get your money. It's a stereotype that pastors are scared to death of. I'm just going to be honest with you today, okay? Because you got to love me to get into heaven, all right? So we're going to work through this one. We have this stereotype that churches just want to get your money. But here's the problem with that. Satan does not want the church to talk about money. Because then the truth about God's plan to bless His children and to bless His church would be revealed when it's talked about from a biblical point of view. Satan wants to make stewardship, a taboo subject. Like, don't talk about that stuff. Talk about other things. And here's the problem. Judging from the evidence, it seems that Satan has largely succeeded because many churches, I would even go so far as to say most churches are always behind on the budget. That the budget is always a big deal. There's never quite enough money to do everything that needs to be done. Always having to say no to opportunities because there's not enough money to pay for that opportunity. I told you I was going to be honest. I told you you got to love me. But believers are in debt and struggling to make ends meet month after month after month after month. The church is hoping to make it to the end of the month. Hoping there's enough money? Now, do you think that that's the way God intended for us to live? Do you think that that's the way God intended for His church to operate? We don't think that. Always in need and always in want and unable to reach new people and expand the kingdom because of limited resources. And yet, we're afraid to talk about it a little bit. And if I can just be really transparent with you, I hate talking about money because I never want anybody to leave here feeling like, well, that church is just out to get our money, because that's not true. As a church, we serve people who are never going to give a dime to this church. We love people who are never going to give a dime to the ministry of Grace Point Church. And so at the same time, we've got this responsibility. Satan doesn't want us to talk about this, and he certainly doesn't want us to be givers. He wants us, he wants our spiritual mouths stained with Skittles and never give any of that back to God. Jesus was never afraid to talk about money. If Jesus was up here, he wouldn't preface anything by any of the stuff I just said. He just let us have it, probably. Outside of God's kingdom, stewardship, how to take care of money and possessions, was his favorite subject to talk about. Outside of talking about the kingdom of God, Jesus talked about money, finance, possessions more than he talked about anything else. He talked more about money and possessions than he did faith and prayer. Did you get that one? He talked more about money and possessions than he did about faith and prayer. He talked more about denarii or money than he did heaven and hell. In fact, if we were to teach about money here on Sundays as much as Jesus taught about money, we'd have to talk about money every third Sunday. Wouldn't that be something? You're like, all right, here he comes again. Why did he do that? Why did he talk about this so much? Because Jesus knew that the way we feel about money has the power to consume us and derail us more quickly than anything else. The way we feel about money. The Bible never says that money is evil. It's the love of money that's the root of evil, the Bible says. So it's how we feel about it, what we're going to do about it. Jesus went so far as to say this in Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He said, wherever, what do you value? What's your treasure? He said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. That's where your focus is going to be. Whatever you value is where you will put your focus. That's where your heart is going to be hanging out. You know, when you those of you who are married, when you first got married, you didn't care how much money he had. You're just like, he's handsome and he bought me flowers. Right? It was a heart. I need our hearts to connect. I want to make sure that how we feel about each other. And then later, you're like, I need you to get a better job. I need you to make some more money. I mean, I know you love me, but this ain't enough, all right? Wherever our treasure is, he wants to work in our lives. He wants our heart. Because he knows if he gets our heart, he gets everything in our lives. If we commit our heart, we commit everything to him. There's a connection between how we handle our money and how we handle our spirituality. God implemented a system that to bless his people and to build his church at the same time. It was called stewardship and giving. Stewardship is just taking care of what God has blessed you with. The Bible says it this way, if you're faithful over a few things or faithful over small things, I'll give you more things to be faithful over. Are you faithful over this stuff? When you the job you have and you don't like, are you faithful to God in that job? Because God can't trust you with a better job if you don't take care of the job he's already given you. If God's given you this much money, are you faithful? Am I faithful over this much so that he can trust me with some more later? That's stewardship, that I'm going to take care of this the right way. So there's two things, stewardship and giving. When we start to give, something happens in the spiritual world. The system is so simple. So God gives to you and me. We give a portion back to him. And then he gives us more. You see, God is a giving God. He was the giver of life. He gave us life. He gave us breath. He gave us the earth. He gave us the earth. He gives us new mercies every day, the Bible says. He gives you and me purpose. And he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and me. God is a giver. He wants us to value the things he values. So, why would we be stingy with our finances when God is a giver and wants us to do things the way he does them? You see, this system, when we give, is called tithing. Now, I want you to stay with me, all right? Because I'm going to be very direct, all right? I'm going to be very direct. But I need you to know I'm not doing this because I'm mad. I'm doing this because I want us all to get this. Because if the Bible teaches it, we need to be open to hearing it and to growing in that area. So wherever you're starting from is okay. Wherever we start from is okay, but God has a direction he wants to take us to take our lives. He wants to bless us and he wants to help us. So tithing, the Bible says that or teaches us the word tithe is very simple. It means one-tenth or 10%, just 10%, all right? So he's telling us that whatever, this is before the Old Testament, during the Old Testament, during the New Testament, and we'll talk about this more in a minute, There's this idea that God gives his people, that you give the first fruits, the first part of it goes back to God. Now, why would God do that? Why would God say, give that first part back to me? Why would God want that first tenth back? I'm going to give you about five reasons. Number one is this: everything I have belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. The checkbook belongs to God. None of us are under any delusions that if we tell God, no, this is mine, that he's like, oh, cool, I'm hands off. God can take control of anything. God can take control of the company that is writing you your paycheck. It all belongs to him. Look at what Exodus says. As you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. And he said, look, I'm giving you these crops. These crops are mine. And I'm giving them to you to be a good steward over it. And then I want you to bring some of it back to me. I want you to tithe back to me. I want you to give this back to me. Leslie, you didn't know I was going to pick on you this morning. But come up here for me. Would you? Yeah. All right. Now, you're going to like this. Okay. There's money involved. So, I'm going to pretend to be God. This is a big stretch, all right? That's a real big stretch. Now, I've got some money. It all belongs to me. This is all the money in the whole wide world right here. All right? It belongs to me. But you've got a job. I gave you a job. Let me just change that. I don't even feel comfortable where that's going. God gave you a job. All right? God gave you a job. And he said, okay, I'm going to give you, hold your hand out. Count with me. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Now, all right. And God said, I'm going to give you $10. This is a real easy job. All right. I'm going to give you $10, but here's the deal. It's still mine, and I can take it back anytime I want to. It belongs to me. I'm just letting you steward it or take care of it for now. And I'm going to let you take care of $9 of that if you'll give me $1 back. Does that sound like a fair deal to you? So you'll keep $9 and give me $1. That works for you? Well, now watch this. Because you gave me that dollar back, I'm giving you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm going to give you 10 more. Because I love you, because you've been faithful to me, because you have blessed me, because you were stewarding well what I gave you, and you are giving back the portion I asked you. I'm going to let you keep $9 of that if you'll give me a dollar. Will you give me a dollar back? Look, that was so easy, wasn't it? Now, why is that so easy? I'm going to answer the question for you. Because it's mine. It's my money. He didn't even know I was going to bring him up here this morning. It's mine. So I'm gonna put that over there. I'm going to do this again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's all, just for the record. Again, I'm going to let you keep 9 if you give me 1. Okay. So now let me ask you this. You gave me $3. I gave you $27. Is that a fair deal?
Sounds good to me.
You'll take that deal any day, won't you? Okay. Now watch this. When God blesses us, and then we hold on to all of it, I'm just going to pretend it's all mine again. It's all mine. But I'm over here with Leslie now. I'm like, well, God, I'm buying something this week that needs $9.99. So I'm just going to have to hang on to this, Lord, because I can't give you back that. Here's what God does. This is what he does. He says, I'm going to stop blessing you. I can't bless that if you're not going to do this the way I told you to do it. I believe there are people in this room right now that you've been struggling financially for years because everything that comes, you're like, I can't let it go. I can't let it go. I can't let it go. I won't let it go. No, those people at church are crazy. I'm not going to listen to what that says in the Bible because I know my finances. And so then all of it gets taken back. It's embarrassing, isn't it? He was reaching. Now watch this. Just because you've been such a good sport, I'm going to take your wife to eat a McDonald's burger or something like that. All right, go. There you go. Now, when we try to keep everything God blesses us and we forget that it all belongs to Him anyway, we're trying to skip out on the system. It's more than just a contract, it's a covenant. The Bible teaches us about covenants. A covenant is very simple. A covenant says, God says, if you'll follow me, if you'll honor me, I'll protect you and I'll bless you. And some of us have decided along the way that we're not going to honor him. Therefore, we don't have his blessing in our life. I told you I was going to give you five things. Here we go. Here's number two. Why would we tithe? It's a New Testament practice. It's a New Testament practice. What sorrow awaits you, Pharisees? Pharisees were a bunch of religious people that wanted to be noticed for being religious. All right, we'll just leave it at that. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. You know what he's saying? Tithing ought to be automatic. He said, this just ought to be part of your life. When you're trying to get credit for doing something you're supposed to do, he said, you're supposed to be focusing on justice and love. But you're over here focusing on this little bit of money. He said, herb gardens. You're trying to tithe the tiniest little clippings from your gardens. Here, look what I'm doing. I'm giving God 10%. And God, Jesus is like, this is what you're supposed to do. This is supposed to be automatic. All throughout history, all the way from Abraham and Jacob, way before the Old Testament was ever written, all through the Old Testament, now into the New Testament. Here's number three. It's God's way of funding the ministry of the church. Tithing is God's way of funding the ministry of the church. Matthew, Jesus says to us, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. This is what he told us to do as he's leaving earth. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. He said, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to share this message about Jesus. I want you to share the grace of God everywhere you go. I want you to baptize people. I want you to teach people. I want you to make disciples everywhere you go. Who's going to pay for it? Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. He said, look, I got a plan to fund this ministry thing, and you're going to give this, and I'm going to bless you for giving it. I told you I was going to be honest. You know how this year, and I'm not preaching this because of this, okay? It just happens to be something that is a part of this whole thing. This year, Grace Point Church will spend about $40,000 repairing air conditions. $40,000. We're about to put a new air condition in a couple of weeks for our nursery. It's actually, the heater's gone out, and it's a 15-year-old unit, and it's time. It's going to cost over $16,000 for one unit. Now, we can all act super spiritual, but when it's 108 degrees outside and there's no air conditioning in here, we're going to stay home and watch online. And hope somebody's in here. And the truth is, I ain't going to be here either, so there ain't going to be nobody online. All right? It's about ministry. When you give your tithe, ministry goes forward. We're able to bless our community. We're able to bless people. And our church is seeing so many wonderful things happen. So many wonderful things. And I don't even have time to mention them all. But it's God's way of funding the ministry of the church. It's you and I doing this together. Here's number four. It's God's way of blessing us. It's God's way of blessing us. Malachi 3:10. Again, if you do this, if you tithe, says the Lord of Heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. Man, if you don't get anything else, get this one. He said, if you tithe, if you will do this, man, this is for somebody this morning. Somebody who's been struggling financially, worrying about the future. If you do, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. I'm saying that's for somebody right here this morning. That God would pour out a blessing so big you just can't contain it. You're just like, I need some help. to carry this. It's God's way of blessing his people. Here's number five. It teaches us to have faith. It teaches us to have faith. Malachi 3:10 again. Try it. Try this tithing thing. Put me to the test. As far as I know, it's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. Just see if it works. Just see. Just try it. If we're going to believe God in John 3:16 for salvation, we need to believe him for our finances every day and trust him in every area of our life. Amen? All right, here we go. All right. I got to finish quick, but I got some stuff I need to say. Every church is made up of five types of givers. Every church is made up of five types of givers. The first one is the non-giver. All right? I'm going to be honest, okay? I told you I was going to be honest. So if you don't love me after this, come talk to me and we'll work through it. Non-givers. The majority of churches, the majority of people inside churches week to week are non-givers, okay? That enjoy it and don't feel any need to give, okay? And maybe you're just starting your journey, so it's not a guilt thing. It's not a guilt thing. Or maybe whatever your circumstances, there's no guilt involved here, all right? So there's the non-giver, and then there's the occasional giver. These are the people who say at Servolution, I'm gonna buy a backpack for those back to school kids, or I'm gonna buy some uniforms for those kids, or whatever, or a missions project, and I'm gonna give something, an occasional giver. And then there's the regular giver, and this person says, I'm gonna give $10 a week. I'm not gonna tithe, and I'm just gonna give something. I just wanna give something back. And then there's the number four, the proportional giver. A proportional giver is a tither, the person who says, I'm giving 10% of everything that comes into my house. I'm giving 10% of everything that comes into my house. And now watch this. I know that if you came to Christ became a believer as an adult, this one is hard. Tithing is hard. I'm blessed because my family taught me to tithe from when I was a little bitty boy. I remember my first job and my mom saying, this is how you figure up how much your tithe is. And so it was easy for me along the way to fit this in. It's always been a part of my budget. I don't need a pat on the back. This is what Jesus said. You're supposed to be doing this, all right? But it was easy for me. Some of you are not coming from that background. So being a proportional giver, a 10% giver, is difficult. But here's the fifth kind, and then we're going to go back. Here's the fifth one, extravagant givers. These are the people who give. They're regular. They give their tithe, and then they just see stuff. They just see stuff. There are people. There have been people in this church for years who will just walk up to me and say, "What does the church need right now?" And I'm always embarrassed to say, well, we need $16,000 for a new air conditioner. Because I don't know where they are financially, but they're in their world, they're an extravagant giver. They're like, I'm already tithing. I want to give some more. I just feel good about this. This is right to me, and I want to give. We're sitting in this building because of extravagant givers. Because people who said, I'm going to write big checks. Because God has blessed me along the way as I went from being a non-giver to an occasional giver to a regular giver to a proportional giver. Now I can be an extravagant giver. And extravagant is going to be different for everybody. When Jesus was, they were talking about the little lady who gave the two mites. She gave a couple of pennies. And Jesus said she gave more than everybody. And they were like, what in the world are you talking about? It's a couple of pennies. That's not more than everybody. And he basically explained to them, yeah, but she's giving out of her need. She's an extravagant giver, even though she doesn't have millions. She has pennies, but she's willing to give, all right? So part of this is learning to take care of our money at home so that we can be givers outside of home, so that we can give back to God. So it works together, being a good steward. I'm going to take care of my money at home, and I'm going to give my tithe so that I can put these together and allow God to bless this journey. Because here's what I promise you. If we do this according to God's will and according to God's plan, you're going to look back 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now and go, I don't even know how it happened, but I got money in the bank. I've got a great job. Look what God has done for me. Look how God has helped me along the way. It wasn't me. I wasn't smart enough. Look what God did. It is stewardship and it's giving. I want to skip to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He says, remember this. Anytime Paul says to us, remember. He said, you're going to read this letter, but I need you to remember this later. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. Let's stop right there. He said, you must decide in your heart how much to give. What level are you on? Where are you at? A non-giver? Is it time to go to occasional giver? To regular giver? To proportional giver? To extravagant giver? Where are you at on this journey? He said, I need you to decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly. Don't be like, Anybody ever give you some money and they're like, if you really need it. You're like, bro, just keep it, man. I'm good. I mean, I don't want it to cause any pain, right? A reluctant giver. Don't be a reluctant giver or give in response to pressure. He said, do not give in response to pressure. You ever dealt with a salesman that is about to get a bonus? If they can just sell you the thing they're trying to sell you. And they're just like putting pressure and putting pressure and putting pressure. And that's when I go, I'm out, man. I'm going to choose this on my own, trying to be a good steward of what? Your pressure is not going to do it for me. As a matter of fact, I'm never coming back here again. I told a car salesman that one time, you'll never see me again. I'm not coming back. Don't give reluctantly. Don't give to God like this, holding it on. And don't give in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Somebody who's happy about it. And God will generously provide all you need. This is important. And God will provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. You see the journey in that, going from non-giver to extravagant giver? You start off with just some seeds at the beginning, and you end up at the end being an extravagant giver. He said, and plenty left over to share with others. But Paul is saying to be deliberate about our giving. Come on to the piano, you guys. Paul is saying be deliberate. Don't hold back. Don't respond to pressure. Listen to Scripture and give, and let your giving come from a cheerful heart, a grateful heart. He's saying, I just want you to give back to me. Now, you got to start where you are when it comes to giving. And one of the things that we've sort of prided ourselves on here at Grace Point over the years is that we don't pressure people. We don't pressure people. We don't pressure you to take a next step in your journey with the Lord. That's not my place. You are the expert on your life, not me. All right? I cannot force you to take another step in your journey with the Lord. I'll have to let the Holy Spirit do that in cooperation with you. You can't do that with me. So we don't put pressure on people. Now, if somebody says, I want to grow, how can I grow? Then we talk about it. And some of those steps are hard, right? There's no pressure. And we've chosen a long time ago, we don't do pressure when it comes to giving. We just don't do it. So this is not a time of correction. I hope this is a time of revelation, of Scripture. You know, when your kids are little and you have to tell them, clean your room or I will murder you. I will clean your room, and your face starts turning red after the 15th time, and you get it. And then your kids get older, and you walk in, and everything's organized. You're like, wow, it was maturity. they decided somewhere along the way, I'm going to take care of this stuff. I'm not doing it because mom and dad said it. I'm not doing it because there was a threat. I'm doing it because it's the right thing, because I know this is what's best for me. I think there are people right here on this journey right now with the Lord that God is taking you on this journey, and he's maturing you along the way. And you're going to look back in months and years later and go, wow. Remember that Sunday when he talked about being a non-giver? And look at what God is doing in my life now. And look how much I'm giving. And look how God is blessing it. And God's going to take you on this journey. You have to decide, though, not me. Paul said that to the Corinthians. He's saying that to you and me today. You have to decide. What do you want from this? How do you want God to work in your life? How do you want God to bless you? I'm picking on Leslie, but he didn't know he was walking out with $27 this morning. All right? Some of us are holding out on God and wondering why we don't have enough. Why we don't have enough. And I just want to say this. Cooperate with him. Cooperate with him. Do this his way. Okay, and I'm going to give you a heads up. The next two Sundays, we're going to talk about stewardship. Taking care of our finances at home. I hate it, don't you? Taking care of what God has already given us. How can we be better at this? How can we accomplish what God wants us to accomplish? Let's stand together, everybody. You got quiet at the end of this one today. Here's what I want to pray right now. If you don't know Christ, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, let's just take a moment right here out of what we're talking about, and let's make sure you have an opportunity to surrender your heart to Christ, to just give your life to Jesus today. The Bible tells us we have to admit that we've sinned. We got to believe on Jesus. We got to confess him as Lord of our life. And we all need that today. We all need Jesus. So if you don't know him and you're ready to surrender your life to Christ, I want you to pray this in your own way as we pray this morning. Or maybe you're at that place in your life where you're working on stewardship, or you're working on giving, and you're saying, I'm ready to make a decision. I'm ready to move forward. I'm tired of this rut I've been in. I'm tired of this financial treadmill. I'm ready for something different. What can I do? How can I do this? And I believe God's going to guide us, and I believe God's going to direct us, and he's going to help us, all right? Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you so much, God. You've been so good to us. You have blessed us. You have helped us. You have moved in our lives. You have worked in our lives. You have answered our prayers. And God, we just ask you today, for every person who needs to start a journey with you, needs to start their relationship with you, we pray, God, that you would move right now in their hearts and in their lives. We pray, God, that you would, that they would accept you, that they would admit their sin, believe on you, confess you as Lord, start their journey with you today. God, we thank you for that. And Lord, we're praying for those that are ready to take another step in stewardship or giving. We ask you to guide us, Lord. Holy Spirit, work in our lives. This all belongs to you. It's not ours. We just want to be in step with you. We want to be in cooperation with you and your will. And we ask that you would have your way with us and use us for your glory. And we thank you right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 I haven't said this in a long time, and I want to give you some homework. Everybody under the sound of my voice this morning, whether online or right here in the room, all of us are dealing with money. Some of us are dealing with a lack of money, and it's stressful. It's stressful. And I want to say this. God is working, and God has a plan. The answers lie in those two things that we've talked about this morning. I encourage you, as a family, as a couple, or if you're single, find somebody to talk to about this and figure out what your next step is in your journey with the Lord. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. But we got to cooperate and do this his way. I just encourage you to talk about it. Open the scripture. Don't be trying to figure it out from up here. Open the book and ask God what he is saying to you. Because we got to quit. I know I got to quit. What gets us in trouble is all this earthly human thinking we do. That's what gets us in trouble to start with. Our own appetites and our own desires, and I want more and give me more and I got to have something else. And God is saying, I got a plan. I got a plan. I want to bless you and I want to help you, but you got to do this thing my way. Open the Bible. Find somebody to talk to. Pray about this thing. Figure out the plan God has for you and let him help you with it. God, bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today.